Mason. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome. It is me, Pod Vader. I've been undergoing a lot of voice treatments recently, and I hope you enjoy it. I sound a little bit different, and that's because I'm actually Chiefs Nick. Pod Vader is off enjoying a little bit of a break, and we're glad because he has definitely earned it. But we are nonetheless going to be breaking down all of these games that breaking down the things we're looking for in these games coming this week. Preseason week three, the closest thing we have to an actual series of NFL games. It's pretty exciting. And I am here with a bunch of other super fans to help us through this. First up, we have a regular on both Thursday and now Sunday as well. Rob is just sort of taking over. That is Rob, our Bills super fan. How's it going, Rob?
I'm doing well. I really just use these podcasts as an excuse to drink.
And it's a good time for it, right here in the middle of the day. Well done, sir.
I live in Florida. Day drinking is like our national hobby.
Hey, you got to stay hydrated down there. So. We also have Neil, our Redskins superfan from across the pond. How is it going, Neil?
Hey, Nick. Hey, guys. That's not so good. Bad news yesterday. My pet mouse, Elvis, he died. So he was caught in a trap.
You laid out traps for your pet?
No, that was a joke, Nick. My God, you guys are...
Well, Elvis had left the building.
Yes.
If you haven't picked up on this, we're rather slow on this side of the Atlantic, Neil. So you'll have to explain that to us after this is all over. But not to
steal it on my audience.
Coming in from Prison Zone 6, we have Kevin, our Cowboy superfan. How's it going, Kevin?
Hey, Nick. Hey, everyone else. Doing pretty good over here. I was just trying to do some research on the Raiders to make Monty upset later today, but I didn't really find any discouraging stats for him, so I'm a little disappointed in myself.
They're bad. You don't really need to know much more than that. There you go. And we also have James, our Eagles superfan down in Atlanta. How's it going, James?
Pretty good. How's everyone doing today? Looking for a good show. And third preseason game, everybody should play to the third quarter, preferably.
Preferably. Well, maybe. We'll see. For some of these teams, I think their fans are hoping they do not see many starters into the third quarter. As I mentioned, you know, a lot of these, we're going through these previews with all of our fans here who, obviously, we have a wealth of knowledge of our own, but we're also getting these previews that we're reading from our super fans from all 32 teams. And I say 32, but I really mean 30, because I believe we're still looking for a Lions fan and a Bucks fan. So if you want to be a part of this mess, please just give us an email. Tell us why you are a super fan. Or even if you're kind of a mediocre fan, we'll probably still read it. Our email address is nextfanup@gmail.com. But let's get into the stuff that we actually do have previews for and we have a lot of thoughts on, and that is throwing it straight back to you, James, and your team playing the Miami Dolphins. What are you looking for in this game?
Well, obviously from the Philadelphia side, I'm looking for the starters pretty much go majority of the first half, if not the entire first half. Some consistency. The offensive line has been shaky, but only because the default starting lineup for our O-line has not been playing together at all this preseason. We had one game with Peters out, another game with Womack out. This week should be the week that we get all five starters together. Hopefully it will show a little bit more consistency, especially with the run game, because LeGarrette Blount, even though his name has been rumored to be one of the cuts, he has a cut-friendly contract. Has not been performing well in the run game. So that's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to. As far as depth on our team, the cornerback battle looks like it might be somewhat interesting on the tail end, mainly just to see who makes special teams between the two rookies. Obviously, there's going to be spots reserved for the two that we drafted this year. They're very high on Rasul Douglas and our other cornerback, Jones, who's still recovering from a torn Achilles. It's probably going to be put on IR because he has yet to show any signs of getting better anytime soon. Other than that, Derek Barnett has had a very good preseason. I'm looking forward for more from him to see if they even throw him into the first team rotation in this game. He's been mostly been playing with the twos and the threes, but been playing so well with those units that they may elevate him just to see if he can crack that defensive end rotation. From the Miami side, offensively, Jay Cutler will most likely get the entire first half, see how he's bonded with that first unit offense. Maybe he'll keep the ball out of our defensive hands this week. Who knows? Last time the Eagles faced Jay Cutler was on a Monday night. He was knocked out of the game. Defensively, of course, everyone's going to be focused on Ndamukong Suh in that front seven and pretty much see how that, you know, secondary shapes out as well. So that's what I'm looking forward to in that game right there.
Good stuff. I'm asking this partially because I'm interested and partially because I'm a LeGarrette Blount owner. If you had a gun to your head right now, who would you say is going to end up as being Philadelphia's leading rusher this year?
LeGarrette Blount, unless something catastrophic happens to him, is going to be Blount. He will get the majority and the bulk of the carries because during the regular season, we will have the starting offensive line barring any injury. And that's the only reason he has not looked good. The other running backs have looked, you know, good in some spots more than others and has been raising questions, but they're playing with the backups. So, you know, with the reserves, they can pretty much jumble things as they see fit. With the starters, they're trying to establish that unit, which they haven't been able to do yet. So hopefully we see a little bit more of that. You know, maybe you'll see 10 carries for about 50 to 60 yards tonight, which would be, you know, a good average for LeGarrette Blount. Also, hopefully we get to see Wendell Smallwood. Now, Smallwood does get some play tonight. He could crack into that top three rotation of our backs with Sproles and Blount. But until he plays, he's not going to get the chance to crack into that rotation. But I am confident that Blount will probably be the team's leading rusher.
Good stuff. All right. Well, moving on. The way we're going to do this, we're going to jump all the way ahead to my game just because I said so. And it is the Chiefs against the Seahawks. This is going to be, you know, I guess I'm glad they decided to put this matchup together for the third preseason game because I think this is going to be the one of the more interesting matchups just between starters on this slate. You know, and honestly, from what, you know, Justin, our Seahawks superfan, sent in, I think both of us are going to be looking at sort of the same units. As we know, you know, the Seahawks have had plenty of struggles on their offensive line, and especially now with George Fant, one of their offensive tackles going down with an ACLU. He's going to be out for 2017. He's writing in that he's worried about what that's going to do. That's basically going to force either Reese Odhiambo in the left tackle, and then behind him is Luke Jokel, blast from the past. Jermaine Ifedi so far has been a bad at right tackle, and he's going to have a tough test against the Chiefs defense. And I'm thinking actually it's going to be a tougher test maybe than Justin even thinks. I mean, this is possibly going to be the most improved unit on the Chiefs team is our defensive line. I mean, defensive line for the Chiefs, I mean, over the last 4 years, basically, you know, for three straight years, we were always in the top 10 and I think even like top seven of run defense. And that has totally fell off last year. I think we finished 28th in overall run defense. And that's basically because our defensive line and actually our front seven in general were extremely injured. Both of our defensive ends, starting defensive ends, ended up on IR early in the season. We had Derek Johnson go down and end up on IR mid-year. Justin Houston's only there for about half the year. And we had, I think, also two more inside linebackers that went down and ended up on IR. So it was really it was just, you know, a huge chunk of that overall front seven was just not playing for most of last year. And that was really the difference. Now, not only have they made some moves to improve their run defense, switching out Don Terry Poe with Benny Logan, who made his debut last week and looked the part. But also some of those guys coming back from injury and some of the younger pieces there really stepped up. Alan Bailey, who was one of those guys injured a DN spot last year, he looked great so far in preseason and in camp. He looks strong and able to penetrate. And Raheem Nunez-Rochas, who's a six-round pick from a couple of years ago, he added like 25 pounds of like good weight to his lower body, and he looks really powerful. And he looks, I mean, and I just think they're going to have a really great rotation on the defensive line now. And you have Chris Jones, you have Benny Logan, Alan Bailey, and then you have guys like R&R, Nunez-Rochas I just mentioned, you know, coming off the bench, and Roy Miller, who is a good run stuffer for Jacksonville, we picked up this summer as well. So that's just going to be solid. And obviously with our linebackers now being healthy as well, with DJ and Justin Houston, it's going to be a real interesting test, certainly for Seattle's offensive line, to put it lightly. I'm actually looking forward to seeing them hopefully convincingly dominate that line, because that'll prove that they really definitely have, you know, improved the way that they should have. And on the other end, for us, I mean, the Chiefs have had, you know, they've been putting together the O-line that they have right now for a while, and it's young. They've extended a lot of these guys, but basically from, you know, 2016 into 2017, we have probably the most continuity from one line one year to the next as we've had over the last 5-6 years, which is really encouraging. They seem to have taken a step forward, but obviously, you know, the Seattle defense is no, they're no slouches, and I think it'll be a real good test to see how much they really have stepped forward. I do expect that, you know, again, the Chiefs offensive starters are going to play into the third quarter, but lately they've been sort of, over the last couple of weeks, they've sort of yanked Alex Smith early and given Mahomes a bit of work in there with the ones. And I really hope they do that for an extended period of time, because I just think it's going to be very interesting to see both, you know, for good or bad, Mahomes throwing against the starting Seattle defense, and seeing how much he really has learned, seeing if some of his more, you know, improvisational qualities get him into some trouble. Those are some of the big things there. You know, in terms of the Seahawks, you know, Justin thinks that their offense is just going to be fine. But, you know, I mean, there's plenty of talent there, but it's probably going to go as the O-line goes. For the Chiefs, you know, one of the things we're starting to look at, you know, for all of these teams, just going into this part of the preseason, are guys that, you know, might end up, you know, that are probably on the chopping block and might end up on other teams, you know, guys that, you know, if you're fans of other teams, you might want to look out for just as being a dude that might be able to step in. Because the Chiefs, they have a kind of a weird numbers game in terms of offensive skill position, because they run more three tight end sets than probably anyone in the league. So they're going to keep like four tight ends. They have a pretty good overall roster of running backs. They like to keep a fullback. And they have Spencer Ware, Kareem Hunt, who looks good as a rookie this year. C.J. Spiller, weirdly enough, looks like he is healthy for the first time in like 5 years, and he's had a really good camp in preseason. And then Charcandrick West is the guy he's sort of nudging out. But if they try to keep all those guys, and Charcandrick West is like the most well-liked guy on the team, like in the locker room. So I definitely think they're going to try to keep him. But then can they keep six receivers? You know, on the receiving side, obviously, you know, they're definitely keeping Hill, obviously. Tyreek Hill's a lock. Chris Conley's probably staying. You have a fourth-round rookie this year, Jehu Chesson, who they're probably not going to cut this early. And then from then on, there's like four or five guys that are all kind of the same skill level that you really don't know. DeAnthony Thomas is probably going to step in as our new kick returner, and so you'd think that he'd be safe. But Albert Wilson is another guy who's probably, he's the longest tenured dude in that room. He's only like 25 or 26, but he's the oldest guy among our wide receivers. And he's also a big special teams guy and knows the playbook better than anybody else. And then you have other recent picks, like, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, who they picked up last year, who there's a lot of excitement about. You have Marcus Kemp, who's Mahomes' favorite target. There's going to be some interesting decisions that have to be made on that end. But either way, I've been rambling a little bit too long, and it is time to get us to our next game.
Before you go to the next game, Nick, I have two Chiefs questions for you.
Go for it.
First of all, do you think they're going to give Mahomes more to do this week? Because I think Greg Cosell was talking about it on the Ross Tucker podcast about how Mahomes was, they were really just giving him not much to do at all, giving him a sort of one read plays every time. Is he going to get more to do this week? And secondly, is Tyreek Hill, what percentage of his snaps is he going to play at wide receiver, do you think, over the course of the season, assuming he plays every game?
It's both good questions. There's not a lot of great indication of what they're going to do with Mahomes. I hope they test out giving him a little bit more complexity. I mean, I think the biggest thing that guys like Mahomes from that air raid offense and other sort of spread systems have had coming into the NFL is just simply you know, getting up to date with all of the motions, all the verbiage, all the little things they have to do. I mean, his talent is there. It's like raw arm talent is there. And so, I mean, you definitely weren't seeing him do like pre-snap reads.
as, you know, Cosell noticed, and like, there was a lot of single read plays. Although, you know, really, if you look at some of those plays, especially the ones that broke down because our second string offensive line isn't great and they kind of forced him to scramble around a bit, he was going through multiple reads. I mean, it might have been a one read play, but he did some interesting sort of veteran things. And I think in some ways, having a god awful offensive line down in Texas Tech probably helped him prepare for some of those situations. But I definitely would like to see him then like do some plays with motion. I mean, that's another thing that is, you know, they're not sure if he's going to get the plays entirely right. So they don't want to make it too much complicated pre-snap stuff, but motion is like a staple of Andy Reid's plays and offenses. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that'll be a real sign that they really have confidence in him being able to execute, you know, the breadth of the playbook. So I hope to see some of that. And again, I mean, just the level of competition is going to be great for him if he's playing against Seattle's ones. But Tyreek Hill, I actually expect him to be pretty much like 90% a wide receiver and maybe more than that. I mean, they basically they've taken him entirely off the kickoff team. He's going to return some punts, and I think they're going to sort of like pinch hit him in there, and like in games where they think they need a spark, like maybe he'll go back there, but they really don't want him, you know, wasting his breath and potentially getting injured on a special teams play when they are now viewing him as the number one receiver. So that's one of the more interesting things. I mean, they're still using him. I mean, he's still taking handoffs, but mostly on like jet sweeps and things like that. But yeah, I think he's going to be, you know, a perimeter receiver for most of this year.
Nick, one last question here for you before we move on to the next game. I'm not sure if many people will care about it, but since we're speaking about sparks on offense, has former Dallas Cowboy great Gavin Escobar had any promise in Chiefs camp this year?
Yeah, he's been an interesting piece. I mean, again, like the Chiefs have a bunch of tight ends, and they're going to keep a bunch. I think he's probably going to stick on the team. The issue is just simply that like they have two other guys that are very similar to him. They're sort of like the basketball traits of being able to jump up and high point the ball, but they're just a little bit inconsistent at everything else and are not particularly good at blocking. You know, and Travis Kelce,
that is strong too.
Yeah. Like Kelce's our best blocking tight end, but you don't really want to keep him back to block. You know, you'd ideally like to have somebody else there that can do those things. On the other hand, if you have three tight ends on a play that are good matchup problems, that's still a good thing to have. But yeah, I do think he's going to stick around, although I'm not sure how much we'll see him this year.
Mm, yeah.
All right. So moving on, we're going back to James, actually, with the Carolina and Jacksonville game.
Before I start there, I just want to say you're welcome for Benny Logan.
Thank you. Looks like a beast.
Carolina and Jacksonville. What I'm looking forward to in this game, you're a fan of either team. Obviously, if you're a Carolina fan, you should still be worried. Cam Newton, while he is getting better, is most likely not going to play in this game. They are being extra careful as far as bringing him along. He has resumed throwing in practice. He is still not taking reps with the first team. So you'll see the backup QB there with the first unit. Speaking of that first unit, McCaffrey, seeing as how he's deployed tonight, his splits between running back and wide receiver will be interesting to see how they deploy him in multiple formations. The previous game, he did do a lot of motion out of the backfield, made a couple of good plays there. But defensively, I don't know if there's anything to be worried about except for the secondary to see how they're coming along with because they did shuffle that lineup a little bit. Front seven still looks stout. Again, these guys will probably be playing most of the first half. On the Jacksonville side, you should be completely worried. That if you're a fan of this team, you're probably the most worried fans in the league right now because you still don't have a quarterback decisively. While everyone expects Bortles to be the guy come opening day, I don't expect that to last long, even if he is named a starter. Conversely, Chad Henne's not much to write home about because you don't want to put everything on him to begin with. Leonard Fournette, who injured himself in the first preseason game, most likely will not play tonight. They'll be careful with him because he is going to be their lead back for the season. So don't expect to see much of him, if at all, tonight until week one of the season. Defensively, they're a little shaky in that front seven, a little bit of inconsistency, especially in the second level at linebacker. I'd keep an eye on the starting unit there if you're a Jacksonville fan, see how they perform tonight, especially in pass coverage.
Man, Pod's curse has really not been kind to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Brutal.
At,
And it's also just been astounding. Like, you know, Bortles has always been the up and down guy, but just like how quickly he has fallen from grace just in preseason is pretty astounding.
It's not a good look. It's really not a good look. One play he's overthrowing Robinson, the next play he's underthrowing Robinson. And then we have that nice little video sound bite that I'm pretty sure everyone's seen by now, Robinson in practice cursing out his quarterback for an overthrow that's also out of bounds. He never really gives him a chance to catch the ball.
Fournette is also out, isn't he, in this game?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, the Jaguars are not good.
If this is week one, Fournette would be playing, but this is precautionary.
All right, it still boggles my mind how the Jaguars were not in the market for a quarterback this offseason when we were talking about quarterback market and all those teams. Just, oh my God, the Jaguars should just hire me. I'll get them back up and running in no time.
Kevin, do you think the Jaguars get 6 wins this year?
Absolutely not.
No. I think Tom Coughlin is going to be a much better coach than he is a GM. I think this is going to be a dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire. I have no clue why people were so high on them. I mean, Blake Bortles is the words aren't, you know, there's no word in the English language to describe how bad Blake Bortles is. It hasn't been invented yet.
Fitzpatrick?
Four wins.
Is a good word.
No.
3 wins.
All right. Well, as fun as it is to guess at, you know, or invent new words for Blake Bortles, actually, maybe just Bortles is just going to be the new word for how bad Blake Bortles is.
You know? Exactly.
And that'll be Bortles, a new comparison. Man. Like, oh, man, you just Bortles the crap out of that game.
You did it, Nick. You did it.
And with that, we do need to move on. You know, speaking of Pod's curse, I mean, next up are a couple of teams that have been sort of Pod's on again and off again boyfriends, and it is the Cardinals and the Falcons. Neil is going to give us a preview of this game.
Yep, got a good preview from Brian, our Cardinals superfan. He's hoping to see that the starting guys get 30 snaps in this game each, which should see them at least play the first half, considering you get about mid 60s. Snaps per game on each side of the ball. So, yeah, looking for at least a half from the guys. He's hoping to show up quite well this week. The plan with Arizona is they're going to stimulate a real game week. So that means Carson Palmer's going to throw, 3 interceptions, I guess? that's from me, not from Brian. And he wants to see some game planning here. He wants to see a little bit more from the defensive line. He's been very impressed with Kendiche and Olsen Pierre on the defensive line, and they can continue that great preseason they've had. That'll be good. Interesting if Kendiche, he had a very poor rookie season, didn't he? I'm actually not sure. Was he injured a lot of the season or just not very good? But he's back doing well this preseason, so maybe he'll show some signs of what he can do. You just got to stop falling out of windows, I suppose, is a first step. Can they run block and defend the run? That's been an issue for the Cardinals. And Brian says they looked like garbage last week against Chicago against the run. So and also run blocking. So hopefully that will improve. Brandon Williams, he had a good performance last week. Looking for more from him, and certainly the best performance of Brandon's career there with the Cardinals. The Honey Badger, also looking good. Picked off a Glennon pass, of course, last week. Good to see him coming back after, was it his second major injury? Maybe his third major injury. So, yeah. Hopefully, see a fully healthy Honey Badger. And, of course, our superfans concerned, of course, because playing Atlanta on the road in the Falcons' new stadium, that's always going to be tough. Especially with a Falcons team that is pretty well set in terms of their lineup. They are hoping this year to generate some more pass rush. And, of course, they signed our favorite player, Takaris McKinley. Sorry, they drafted Takaris McKinley, Tack. You'll remember him from the draft, Nick. He was the one who brought the almost life-size picture of his grandmother down there and said this is what he's doing it for. It was fantastic. Even dropped an F-bomb, I think, on the live coverage, which was just brilliant. He's going to be back for his second game. He missed the first game of preseason. played a few snaps last week, and the Atlanta seemed pretty happy with him there in terms of giving a bit more of a pass rush compared to adding that to Vic Beasley, of course, who was, I think he led the league in sacks last year, didn't he? So if they can add McKinley in there, that'll help them and make them even better on defense. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me in terms of the Cardinals and Falcons. Didn't get a preview from our Falcons super fan, so tack McKinley aside, that's pretty much it.
Well, the one little bit of news that did come out of here, which I'm not sure if our Cardinals superfan, Dr. Jones, said anything about, but over the last few days, Bruce Arians did name Drew Stanton as the backup to Carson Palmer. And that's interesting only because, I mean, to my eye, Blaine Gabbert had like roundly outplayed Stanton so far in the preseason. Stanton went 13 to 21 passes so far for 129 yards and a touchdown, while Gabbert has gone for 30 of 48 for 412 yards and a touchdown and an interception. Obviously, you know, Gabbert's had more, just overall more throws, but I mean, Stanton, I mean, that's just barely over 50% passing, whereas, you know, Gabbert's, you know, done a lot better than that. And he's also just been, you know, Gabbert has been a serviceable starter, at least in San Francisco, for like games at a time. I'm not sure we've ever said that about Drew Stanton. And I don't know. To me, I would be worried about that if I was a Cardinals superfan, seeing Stanton come off the bench rather than Gabbert, if and when Carson and his old legs get hit.
But the problem, Stanton, of course,
Stanton's Arians' guy. He followed him along from Indianapolis when he was the OC there. So there's that, you know, comfortability. So I'm sure at the end of the day, that's kind of won out.
There's also the fact that Gabbert rarely walks the walk, but Stanton definitely dances the dance.
Well, Arians did say, quote, "Blaine's been a great surprise. It was a no-risk proposition. Is he ready to be our number two in this season? I doubt it because he doesn't know the offense well, but he's seeing a lot of vanilla out there." So Arians, again, being quite forthright about why he made the decision he did.
I like that guy.
Looking at the Cardinals media in terms of, you know, just looking at their social media for the Cardinals, they're also hoping to see a bit more from their first round pick, Hassan Reddick, who I think disappointed so far in preseason. And of course, but they have got Deion Buchanan back, haven't they, this week? He's back from injury, so he'll hopefully add something to that defense. But Reddick was somebody I liked a lot. I think, Rob, you liked Reddick as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was. Honestly, at one point, I was hoping that, well, I wouldn't have minded if the Bills took him at 11 last year.
Yeah, I mean, he climbed that draft so fast. It was faster than a rat up your trouser leg.
You seem to have some more interesting animal experiences than the rest of us there, Neil. But and on that note, I think we're going to jump ahead. We haven't heard much of Rob here. We're going to jump ahead onto your game, which is the Bills and the Ravens. You know, just because otherwise we went chronological, which would be the actual rational way we'd be going back to James. But let's get some Rob in here. What are you looking for in your game?
All right. Nobody circles the early round draft picks like the Buffalo Bills. I mean, this game, you know, it's the big dress rehearsal for the season. I think it's going to be first off, the offensive line. I thought when they played Philly, I thought the offensive line looked, you know, pretty mediocre at best. I thought they looked pretty bad. And that was a strength for the team last year. So, I mean, that's a problem. Granted, they were probably doing some vanilla things, and I'm sure that Jim Schwartz still is a little bitter since the Bills didn't hire him as a coach when they hired Rex Ryan. So he was throwing out maybe some exotic looks. I'm not entirely sure. They didn't have that game down here in Florida. They, you know, from watching a little bit on the NFL Network, they didn't look great. They also have some injury holes that they have to kind of deal with. Cordy Glenn, our left tackle, is injured. Second-round pick Deion Dawkins, who they kind of tabbed as the right tackle, is going to be playing on the left side for him. You know, how is he going to do? The offensive line needs to kind of improve. The other position, the wide receiver spot, there's been so much movement on the wide receiver position. Obviously, Anquan Boldin retired a couple days ago after signing with the team 2 weeks prior to that. They get rid of Sammy Watkins. They do add Jordan Matthews, who I think is going to be a real good slot guy for them. He is healthy. It looks like, I know today he was a full participant in practice, so I'm pretty sure that he's going to make his Buffalo debut. It'd be interesting to see if they kind of force a couple passes his way. Want to see some more Zay Jones. Zay Jones has looked good. I mean, he's looked pretty good for, you know, a second-round pick rookie. Played in the slot most of the time at Eastern Carolina. They're playing him outside, and he looks like he's really taken well to it. But, you know, they need some young guys to step up. You know, Andre Holmes is kind of slated to be the starter on the outside right now, and that's not fun if you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills. There's a couple undrafted free agent kids that are kind of doing work in camp and then looking good. Dakeel Shorts, who's a wide receiver from West Virginia, has looked good. And then I believe there's a Brandon Riley, who is a wide receiver from Nebraska. He caught a touchdown in the last preseason game. I'm interested to see if they get a little bit more playing time, have kind of worked their way up into the twos. Maybe get a little bit of playing time with Tyrod. I think that'd be good for him. Speaking of Tyrod, assuming the Bills are going to keep him, which at this point, I don't think there's anybody on the Bills roster that's safe. It looks like the Bills are really kind of gearing up for that 2018 draft. In fact, there was a rumor I saw on Twitter today that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were trying to mulling trading a first-round pick for Shady McCoy. I don't think that deal happens. I think it's just internet chatter. But, you know, it just shows everybody's kind of, you know, up for grabs, regardless of what the team says publicly. He needs to kind of get on the same page with his receivers in this offense. He did not look good in the Philly game. Lots of misplaced passes. This offense is going to be a little bit more timing-based than what he had when Greg Roman and Anthony Lynn were his offensive coordinators last year. And, you know, so accuracy is going to be key, and it just doesn't look – it looks like there's a pretty decent shot. He's not a good fit for this offense. Who knows, you know, what they're going to actually look like once the season goes and they're not playing vanilla, because they are playing – they're doing vanilla stuff. But I don't know. With him, I'm a little worried at how he's going to turn out this year. Big year for him, because if he doesn't play well, the Bills can easily get out of that contract. And then the other thing I'm interested in is how with the defense, I'm not as worried. Defenses look pretty good for the most part, especially the number one defense. I like it quite a bit. I want to see how the defensive backs are going to shake out for Buffalo right now. Tre'Davious White, the rookie first-round pick, has looked pretty fantastic. He's definitely going to be one of the starters. On the other side, you got Kevon Seymour. He was a sixth-round pick out of USC last year and definitely played higher than his draft position. He looks like it's going to be him or possibly E.J. Gaines. E.J. Gaines was the throw-in in the Sammy Watkins trade, which made them able to get to trade Darby to Philly. Fits the offense well. He's a zone cornerback, which is, you know, what the Bills are going to be running. He had an interception against Philadelphia in that game. Only played a little bit because he's still learning the offense, but I think it's kind of come down between those two to see who gets that starting spot opposite of Tre'Davious White. And then the last thing with the Bills, Peterman all day. I know Neil likes what's going on in Buffalo with Peterman. He was the third string going in the camp. Jumped up to the second team and played pretty well, threw a couple nice passes to Zay Jones. He looked well. So it's now Buffalo's clamoring for him to start, of course. It's not going to happen, but it's kind of fun to watch. It's nice to see that a late fifth-round pick might turn into, you know, at least a good backup for us. But, yeah, defense, I feel good. Both defensive ends. Have looked good. Shaq Lawson has looked well in preseason, as has Jerry Hughes. For the Ravens, I was doing my research on this. Jeff Zrebic of the Baltimore Sun referred to the offense as a hot mess. So I think for them, the biggest thing is just going to be their offensive line. They've had tons of injuries. Their left tackle is out. Their center is out, which got them to bring back Jeremy Zuda from San Francisco. They cut him, and they after a trade with Baltimore earlier in the year, and then they cut him. Baltimore picked him back up. Ronnie Staley, the left tackle, is out. Also, their right tackle is out as well. They did bring in Austin Howard to kind of fill that spot, but there's just so many injuries on the offensive line that, you know, they really got to figure that out. And then the other thing, just from looking, is their backup quarterback position is a big deal. Ryan Mallett has not played well at all this preseason. 53.2 QB rating in the two preseason games. I hear there may be a quarterback out there in free agency who many people feel would be an upgrade in the backup position. Also, the team, a lot of the fans are looking for Josh Woodrum. He's a free agent, undrafted free agent guy, brought in kind of like a camp arm. He's been killing it in the preseason games. So now all the Raven fans really want to see him play a little bit, you know, with the ones and the twos. Obviously, Flacco's not going to play today because today when their game is, because he is still injured. Obviously, the quarterback I was referring to was Colin Kaepernick.
Not Kyle Orton,
unfortunately. He may end up in Jacksonville, though. Who knows?
Gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough beginning to the season for the Ravens if they have no O-line, no Flacco. And even if when they do have get Flacco back, the no O-line for a guy like that who just sort of stands tall and, you know, and is best at trying to hit things deep, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they cobble that all together.
Yeah, he sits in the pocket longer than Lynn. I don't think it's going to go well for him at all. They need an offensive line. Also, they lost their best running back. He's out for the year, Dixon. So they're going to be running with Woodhead and Terrence West. Woodhead's coming off the ACL injury, I believe. So, I mean, this might be a second year in a row, a pretty down year for the Baltimore Ravens.
The defense is good.
Oh, yeah. There are no problems with the defense. Defense, very good. There were, in my little research for Baltimore, there are, like, no problems with the airtight defense. They're great. But for as good as their defense is, that's how bad their offense is, or at least has looked in training camp.
All right. Well, we need to move things along, and that brings us back to the other Friday game. So, you know, Patriots fans, if you're getting angry thinking that we weren't going to talk about your team, we definitely are. And Lions fans, well, you need to write us an email and send us a super fan. So, either way, it is James that has this game for us. And so, James, what are you looking for in the Pats Lions?
Hopefully the commissioner would do something so the Patriots can't play this season. That would be great. Everybody gets a bye that week. No. Patriots, nothing. The Patriots have nothing really to worry about. I think the only really concern worth talking about with the Patriots on either side of the ball is the backfield situation. We know that they're going to platoon a core of four running backs, most likely headed by James White, who should have been Super Bowl MVP. You've heard me say that many times on this podcast, and I still hold by that. Seeing how they, you know, work that rotation out with these four running backs is going to be a cluttered backfield, and we know that they will typically ride the hot hand, whoever that will be on any given week. So far, no one's really had the chance to discern themselves as the number one lead back. Again, I still believe it should be James White, but that's the Patriot way on how they do things. Of course, everyone wants to see more Brandon Cooks and Tom Brady hook up. So that'll be something fun to look forward to. On the Detroit side, be worried. Ezekiel Ansah is out tonight. He is injured. He's pretty much the linchpin of that defensive line. He makes everything go for that front four and their defensive scheme. We're not sure how long this injury has will be lingering on. Offensively, look for the rookie. I believe his name is Galloway. Yes, Galladay, excuse me. Look for more from him this week with Matthew Stafford in lineup. He's, again, still pushing Golden Tate. They're still debating on whether Tate's going to be an outside receiver opposite of Galloway, who looks like he will be starting opening day, to actually pushing Tate to the inside or have him mostly running slot in three receiver sets. So this third game will be a good chance to check that out. Stafford, again, still deflecting all questions because he most likely is the next quarterback to be paid ridiculously amount of money for having done nothing in the league yet. So that's something to look forward to as well when that happens. Performance tonight should say a lot about both teams going forward, more so about the Lions and the Patriots. We know what we're going to get out of them this season, but the Lions pretty much in a tough division, always looking up at Green Bay, and from what I hear, Minnesota's looking pretty good as well. So might lose a stranglehold in that two spot.
Did they lose Derek Rivers, the Patriots?
Rookie defensive end, yes. He is on IR for the year.
He was a top pick, no?
Yes, he was. Their first pick, I believe.
Yeah, in the third round or something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to add some bad news for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, bad
Thank
news
you for
Patriots.
That.
Jeez.
I will say one thing that just of note of me as a Chiefs fan was that, you know, Belichick generally doesn't, you know, unless like someone is like pulling out one of his fingernails, he won't give you more than half of a sentence to any question in a press conference. And
exactly.
He actually like was like long and descriptive about how like the Patriots are going to be scouting the Chiefs in terms of like how they play against the Seahawks, which is, it's just one of those things that just annoys me because obviously, you know, the Chiefs are playing the Patriots in the season opener. And it's just like, because on one hand, it's like, I would like to see the Chiefs, you know, throw out some flashy stuff, like actually, you know, have a good starting performance against the Seahawks. But I know that it's just going to be Bill like jotting all those things down. And it's not like we can do the same thing to him. There's like no revenge because like, ooh, like, let's see how Garoppolo moves through these reads. You know, like they're not going to do anything interesting that's going to be useful for us. So I think out of spite, I still will probably watch the game. Either
he's
way.
He's got to you, Nick, hasn't he? He's got to you.
Maybe just a little bit. So, moving on to the battle of Prison Zone 6. That is the New York Jets versus the New York Giants. And so, Kevin, this is your exciting game to preview for us.
I don't even know why I assigned myself this game, but apparently I did. Well, first off, let's talk about the Jets. Anyone who had the misfortune of watching their game last week against the Lions knows that, they're not very good. I mean, as this country, as everyone knows, is going through an opioid crisis, you know, narcotics, all those overdoses. I mean, last summer and this summer, there's a bunch of pictures. I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, obviously. There's a bunch of pictures with kids in their backseat and their parents just overdose in the car. That's exactly what the Jets are. Todd Bowles is a kid, and the Jets, their players in their front office, are just overdosing on black tar heroin or whatever opioid of their choice. And Bowles is just in the backseat, helpless, and just like, what am I doing here? What is going on? Why are my parents treating me like this? It's like the Jets are just, they have no hope. They had -3 total net passing yards in the first half last week. I mean, that's embarrassing. As an NFL team, even if it's a preseason, that just should never happen. Hackenberger obviously is not the answer. Bryce Petty's obviously not the answer. Josh McCown probably gives the Jets their best chance to win, but what good does that do? So they can go 2-14 instead of 0-16? And the Jets, I've never seen a team in such a bad spot as the Jets are right now. I really haven't. They don't have anything going for them. Jamal Adams struggled last week. He was supposed to be like the most surefire pick of the entire draft, and he's not having that good of a preseason. One good thing for the Jets, I guess, is Matt Forte is probably going to play this week for whatever that's worth. Although I think Bilal Powell at this point in his career is probably more talented than Forte. The Jets also have no wide receivers. Obviously, Eric Decker's now on the Titans, Brandon Marshall on the Giants, Lucky Whitehead hurt, Quincy Enunwa hurt. So Robbie Anderson, who goes from undrafted free agent to like their four-string wide receiver last year, is now all of a sudden their number one wide receiver. It's just a joke. It really is a joke. But before we get to the Giants, I guess I'll say one positive thing about the Jets. Wilkerson, Leonard Williams, and Sheldon Richardson have all looked good this preseason. And if the Jets have any hope, they need to sack the quarterback about 10 times a game. And they do have 12 sacks the last two preseason games. So So just maybe the Jets defense will make this season not as miserable as it should be for the Giants, for the Jets. But
who starts at quarterback, Kevin?
Well, it should be either Hack. It has to be Hackenberg because Bryce Petty, the Jets already found out, is trash. Josh McCown, with his 16-40 career record in the NFL, is definitely the best quarterback on the roster, but really serves no purpose to start for them because it's going to be a 1-year stopgap and they're going to not be good with him anyway. And then Hackenberg, I mean, granted, I've been on record saying that he's horrible. He looked disastrous whenever he played on Saturday, 2-for-6 for 14 yards. And as I mentioned before, he was sacked 3 times for 20 yards, resulting in -3 passing yards in the first half. So any of those three people is a horrible choice. So I guess they can't lose who they pick, but that's not good. And as for the Giants, unfortunately, they're in a little bit of a better spot than the Jets here. Although it seems that Odell Beckham, which seems to be the big news of the day for the Giants, might miss the opener against the Cowboys, which would just be delightful. And so I'm not sure what's going on with him. I think he suffered some hit against I think Jabril Peppers actually laid a good hit on Odell Beckham in the first series on Monday night. But other than that, I'll look for the Giants' offensive line to see if they're improved, which through the first 2 preseason games, they have not looked improved. And as I mentioned before, if there's one positive thing to say about Jets is that they have a pretty decent front line. So that'll be a good test for the Giants. Other than that, I guess the only big thing is who's going to lock up the number 2 quarterback spot behind Eli, either Geno Smith or Josh Johnson. I think it should go to Geno. Josh Johnson hasn't thrown a pass since 2011. So although he's been on an NFL roster since 2011, he hasn't thrown a pass in the regular season since 2011. I mean, I don't know what that says, but to me that says it's a miracle that he's still in the league. But anyways, the Giants.
All right.
That's it for the Giants and the Jets. I'm done ranting on them.
Well, you've painted quite a picture of the Jets. I will say the only tickets I have to an NFL game this season so far are the Chiefs at the Jets in December. And I'm now just a little bit worried that they might just have forfeited the rest of the season by that point. I might have to look into getting those refunded or something.
They do sell good sausage and pepper sandwiches at MetLife Stadium. So, you'll have a good time. And Jets fans will probably beat some people up, so that's always a good time.
Yeah, good time. All right, well, we are running a little bit long, as usual. So we're going to jump right on to the next game, unless anybody is more excited to talk about the Jets and their black tar heroin overdose.
Well, I think that's pretty exciting. It's a hell of a drug from what I hear.
Okay, now we definitely need to move on. And next up is the Indianapolis Colts at Pittsburgh, and this is one of my games. So it's pretty simple on the Steelers side. Our Steelers superfan Greg wrote in that he's excited to see Antonio Brown and Ben Big Ben take the field for the first time in the preseason and the last time in the preseason. He actually hopes that they leave the game after one snap and stay healthy. With Ben, that may be too much to ask, but we'll see. He said he's also looking forward to seeing future Hall of Famer James Conner continue his impressive work from last week. You'll also look for Josh Dobbs just to see if there's any improvement in his play for that rookie. And other than that, just hoping that they stay healthy. So that's pretty exciting. For the Colts, the fact that, just one play out of AB and Big Ben might be enough just to still make the Colts look absolutely horrible. Our Colts fan wrote in that, despite the fact that you know, the defense is a mess, but it's not really a surprise to anyone. The previous week, Dallas ran right down Indy's throat. And, you know, so he's hoping that they'll at least show some signs of having a run defense. He's more worried about the quarterback situation. And, of course, I mean, everyone should be in Indianapolis with Luck continually, you know, still just not entirely healthy. Tolzien, the backup, is clearly not going to win any games, he says. And he says there's also been some mix-ups on the offensive line, but, you know, now they really need to figure something out at quarterback. Turbin and Mack, I said, should get some work with the ones. Otherwise, he's pretty confident they're going to be drafting in the top 10 next year.
Le'Veon Bell is back on the 1st of September, is that right? I saw that story today.
I have not seen anything on Le'Veon
Bell. I saw after the third preseason game he's planning on coming back. I didn't see an exact day, but it was after the game.
No, he's coming back on September 1st. That's confirmed.
Well, it's a nice veteran vacation then.
Good for him.
if he's not cut, if they rescind the tag.
Right. Or if he can keep himself from engaging in any illegal substance behavior over the next few weeks, which, you know, with him, it'll be interesting. The next game we have on the docket is Cleveland versus Tampa Bay. And this game belongs to Rob. I haven't heard from you in a while.
All right. Cleveland, Tampa Bay. With Cleveland, I think the big thing for everyone there is DeShone Kizer. He's apparently looked pretty well. Did the Browns hit on their second round pick? He's probably going to be the only rookie that's starting in week one in the NFL this year. He hasn't clinched it yet. Does he do enough, you know, in this game to kind of clinch the spot? I think other things of note for the Browns, how the wide receivers kind of shake out. You know, Kenny Britt, I thought the Browns handled it terribly with Terrell Pryor. And then they tried covering themselves with Britt. Man, Pryor is so much better than Britt, in my opinion. So Britt's got to step up a little bit. Going to be interesting to see, you know, the rest of the receivers, you know, Corey Coleman and the bunch, how they kind of fill out the season. One thing I'm interested in is the rookie tight end, David Njoku. Kind of how he had a kind of an up and down camp. It started off kind of bad, but he's looked well as it's gone on. I'd like to see him, you know, play quite a bit, see how that turns out for him. I think he has the potential, just given his athletic ability, to be the best tight end of the rookies that came out this year. And that's saying something when you're comparing him to, you know, OJ Howard, you know, in that group. And then I think it's curious that just the defense in general, how they're taking to Greg Williams' attacking system. He's the new defensive coordinator there. You know, it'll be interesting. Have they found things for Jabril Peppers to do? I didn't think he would do all that great in the NFL, but apparent word out of camp is that he's looked pretty good. So, you know, did they find creative ways to use him? You know, you want to keep Garrett healthy, but I think they definitely want to get him reps. He's looked like a beast in the preseason games. The defense in Cleveland might be, I don't want to say good, but frisky. For Tampa Bay, I mean, really, it just the big thing is probably, I hate to say it, it's probably the kicking game. They released Roberto Aguayo. He was their second-round pick from last year. And gave the job to Nick Folk, who's been in the league a while. And then he goes out there, he stinks it up. Something they need to fix. I mean, Tampa Bay's at the spot now where they're looking to maybe make the playoffs this year. And if you got a shoddy kicker, it's going to be tough for you. And I think the other thing is with Tampa Bay is going to be the running back situation. Doug Martin suspended for the first three games. So you have a bunch of guys who are kind of trying to get a big a piece of the pie as they can. You know, Jacquizz Rodgers, he's done a little bit in camp. Carl Sims is looking really well from what I read about the team. I think it's going to be one of those two going to be the guys that get the most action. But then you got other guys. You got the rookie from Boise State, Jeremy McNichols. Can he jump anyone? And then you got the big back, Peyton Barber, I believe from Auburn. It's his second year this year. You know, what's his role going to be? Is he going to be, you know, kind of a short yardage guy? Is he able to get more than that? If I remember correctly, he played fairly decent when they got down to their fourth running back. Had a lot of injuries at the running back position last year, did Tampa. But the way that offense runs, whoever can step, get into that number one spot, I think has an opportunity to put up some real decent numbers. And also just want to point out, the team made a point of saying Doug Martin did not earn the starting job when he came back. So, I mean, you could Wally Pip him, get in there for the and play with the ones in the regular season, and then just keep the spot all year.
What's the story with you guys over there? I noticed that there's 10 Cleveland players, including Seth DeValve, sat for the last preseason game. How is that being handled over there in the States?
I mean, there's a lot more players sitting down now in general. I know Seth DeValve was the first white player to sit down, but you're seeing a lot more of it. And I think, honestly, you're just going to continue to see a lot more of it. Players showing unity with each other. My personal opinion, you're just going to see more of it.
Yeah, I think, honestly, there's been probably less overall than there was at sort of like peak Kaepernick time early last season. But, you know, the way things are going and American politics, I expect to see some more players making political statements on the field, whether, you know, whatever fans think about it, it's going to continue. So I think it just kind of goes with the environment, frankly. I will say on Peppers, though, take it back to football. You know, he's a really interesting guy as like a raw talent. And it's just interesting that Kaiser's also doing so well. I mean, when you first said that he's been blowing it up in camp, my first thought was like, well, how much does it really say? How bad do you have to be to not look good in Cleveland camp? But with Kaiser, it's going to be fascinating if he actually ends up starting, because he was considered to be of the top prospects, you know, really the most raw and the most inconsistent. Of all these guys that you know, everyone believes need a bit more polish. But I've also seen a bunch of reports that, you know, Brock Osweiler is the guy that the coaching staff want to go to week one, and they just sort of want to give Kaiser the third preseason game just to sort of prove it, you know. Or maybe they're setting him up to fail so that it won't be as embarrassing when they go to Brock Osweiler as the starting quarterback week one. I don't know. It's a really weird situation to me. But okay, no more Cleveland thoughts. Next game is Oakland Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys, and that is Kevin, of course. So, Kevin, all I know is that Monty was talking a bit of smack in his preview, so, you know, it is now your chance to talk back about, you know, some real preseason competition here.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Monty was angry about, why he was so offended by my write-up. I don't know what his problem is with stats. He seems to really not like them. But, Jerry, I mean, I think,
Jerry Jones, you know, believes that stats are for losers. They relish in them.
Yeah, he does believe stats are for losers. I'm not quite sure, though. I mean, I guess I know why, because if he doesn't look at the stats or if he doesn't know the stats, then he can just make up his own narrative about his own team. But stats don't care about your feelings, Monty. And I know in my little intro here, I said I was trying to find a stat that would sort of troll you, and I found one. But unfortunately, I didn't have it 20 minutes ago. But here it is. Since 2012, at least 25 quarterbacks have thrown 1,500 passes. And Derek Carr's yards per attempt is worse than Blake Bortles. So for whatever that is worth, that's the stat of the day.
And Alex
hope
Smith's.
You like it, Monty.
It's also worse than Alex Smith's.
It's that also worse than Alex Smith's. Yeah. And then I was also reading an article how that Dak Prescott is pretty much significantly better than Derek Carr in pretty much every aspect, but that's too much talking to go on right now. So I'll just probably email that link to Monty in my spare time. But anyways, the game. Let's get to the game. Dak Prescott's probably going to play. I don't think he's going to play the entire first half. I don't think the Cowboys offensive stars are going to play the entire first half. They'll probably play They'll definitely play the whole first quarter, but I really don't. Much like the first two preseason games, I'm not really tuning into the preseason games to see the Cowboys offense. I pretty much already know what the Cowboys offense is going to be like. I mean, it'll be nice to see if Dak and Dez can show more improved connection like they showed last week against the Colts. But really what I'm going to be looking at is the defensive side of the ball, obviously. Going to look at Taco Charlton again, who's sort of had an up-and-down camp. He's had his woes, that's for sure, but I think he's improved the last two games. He was actually on the field halfway into the third quarter against the Colts last year, so Marinelli and Garrett definitely want him on the field to get as much experience as possible. And then Jalen Smith is going to play again, which was the most exciting part about last week. He only played a dozen snaps, made one tackle, but he looks fast, looks quick. In my opinion, for whoever follows me on Twitter, I did tweet this, that he looked better in coverage than he did against the run. He was sort of overshooting his gap, sort of overrunning plays, which is never a good thing. But I'll give him a break there. He's probably a little amped to get on the field, as he hadn't played in an actual game in 600 days. But let's see if he improves upon his angles and routes to the ball this week. Rico Gathers, another preseason darling for the Cowboys, is unfortunately not going to play this game due to concussion. So honestly, there's not really much I'm going to be looking at that I haven't already looked at or sort of in my mind figured out for the Cowboys this year. I mean, it's probably going to be Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris probably going to split times with the first unit to see who is going to be a better option come week one. With the Zeke suspension, I have a feeling McFadden's going to get the nod, but in the back of my head, I sort of think Alfred Morris is a better scheme fit for the Cowboys. And then, of course, the rookies in the secondary, they really need to get on the field. Chidobe didn't play last week. Jordan Lewis has not played all preseason, barely practiced all preseason due to injury and, of course, his domestic violence case that he was found not guilty of, so we can rejoice about that. But they really need to get on the field. They need to get some experience because, as the Panthers showed last year, they were pretty confident to let Josh Norman go, and they're confident in their two rookies. And the Panthers secondary had a lot of growing pains last year. So I need Jordan Lewis to get on the field, hopefully by the fourth preseason game. Hopefully Chidobe can get back on the field this week. Other than that, The most important thing for the Cowboys I'll be looking at is Lyle Collins and how he goes against Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin. Much improved from the Hall of Fame game at right tackle from where he was at the Hall of Fame game to last week against the Colts. He looked pretty solid last week against the Colts. It's not saying much because, I mean, the Colts, I would be the best pass rusher on the Colts with my agility and ferocious spin move. But, other than that, I mean, I think I said other than that like five times now, but other than that, really, that's it for the Cowboys. And for the Raiders, I know Monty wants to see their defense improve. He's not very pleased with their secondary. I was reading some stuff on the Raiders. I couldn't really find any beat writer or any reporter to say any nice thing about the Raiders' defense. Their secondary looks abysmal, apparently, which is surprising to me because they have like pretty solid names there. Sean Smith, Reggie Nelson, Amerson, I believe, is still on the team. So it surprises me that their secondary is so bad. And one name I'm going to be looking at, just a rookie. I always like to throw a rookie out. I was sort of intrigued by him in the draft process. The defensive tackle from UCLA, Eddie Vander News, knows whatever you pronounce his last name. Big, real big, strong guy. He has injury problems, and I'm reading he's sort of gaining more knowledge and coming up to speed to the NFL game, but he just has, in my opinion, from the little I know about Mr. Eddie Vander News, he has a lot of potential, highly athletic, highly skilled. He just needs to put it all together. And then, of course, Dak Prescott. We already went through how much better he is than Derek Carr. So, yeah, that's about it for this game.
I do see that Monty also wanted to make sure that Neil knew that the Oakland Raiders' tight ends have looked good.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, of course. That's why Monty was sort of aggravated, because I took a shot at his tight ends, and for some reason he is just enamored by Lee Smith or whatever his name is. He's the best blocking tight end since the blocking has been invented. I mean, blocking is important and all, but come on, Monty. Who really gives a crap about your second string tight end being a good blocker? Not I.
Monty wouldn't know a good tight end if he met one in his breakfast cereal.
Which is where you normally meet tight ends.
Yeah.
Is this
a Super Bowl preview, this game?
I sure hope not.
It would be a great Super Bowl. You'd get amazing. I mean,
great for who?
The Raiders. Great for the NFL. I think the NFL would love the Cowboys Oakland Super Bowl. Do you not? Do you not think the NFL would love that?
No.
I think it would be good for the fans of Oakland and their last season. That is all I will say.
I mean, they're one of the two most storied franchises in the league. I don't see how it would be bad for them to play in the Super Bowl. It'd be great for the league as a whole. And as you said, for the sad Raiders fans in Oakland.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I'm biased,
speaking of sad fans, it is now up to Neil to preview the first ever Battle of Los Angeles between the Rams and the Chargers.
Yeah, this is a good one. We've got to find a name for this bowl, haven't we? In LA, what are we going to call it? The toilet bowl?
The screw you fans bowl?
Yeah. There's a lot of the dog bowl. Who knows? It's got to have a name. Somebody on Twitter is surely going to come up with some fancy name for this one. Having said that, this will really be Philip Rivers' first action in preseason. He played, I think, one series in the second game. Otherwise, nothing. Chargers have scored, 17 points in their two games, which they've lost both of those. So they'll be looking for something offensively. And, you know, last year, Tyrell Williams, the undrafted wide receiver, he did get 1,000 yards on 69 catches. So he's going to be starting this season. And, of course, Keenan Allen's back. They've got a couple of good tight ends there and Gordon in the backfield. So there's some hope for them. They did, I believe they lost 2016 drafted player, offensive lineman Max Turk. He's suspended for the first four games going into this season. So he missed all of last season through injury, I believe. So he's going to have to wait for his NFL debut. Otherwise, for the Chargers, they just want to get into some rhythm on offense. I think that's a key thing for them going into the regular season. So yeah, get Rivers back in there. For the Rams, we're also talking quarterback, Nick. We're looking at Jared Goff, who certainly looks a far improved player than he did from his rookie season, partly because I guess he's got a bit more experience and he's settling into a system, but also Sean McVay. If Sean McVay doesn't get something out of Jared Goff, I'm not sure who is going to get anything out of Jared Goff. So let's see him. He's thrown, 19 out of 24 passes were completed this season in the preseason so far. That's what, almost 80% completion percentage.
I mean,
and
I was just going to say, I don't think Jared Goff is much improved. I mean, from what I saw in the Cowboys 2 series he had against the Cowboys, he did not look very good. But the last game I previewed was the Raiders, and the Raiders' secondary seemingly is one of the worst in the NFL, and I think that's why that sort of had something to do with Goff's good outing last week. But yeah, I just wanted to keep Goff down before we give him credit.
Sure. When I say much improved, Kevin, I do mean much improved over his performance last season, which where he was throwing a yards per average of 5.3, at least in preseason this year, is up to 8.1, which is far more league normal.
Okay. I'll give you that.
I mean, let's see how he goes. He's only had he hasn't had that many starts. Let's see how he goes this season. And he's got some help this season, hasn't he? I mean, he's got the one-legged Buffalo Bill now playing for them, and he's also got Was it Bucky Hodges they got in the draft, the tight end? And so we'll see if they got some improved weapons there. Offensive line be better. So that's really it, Nick. I think I'm not going to be watching this game. Are you going to watch this rubbish?
I might take a peek at the starting Chargers and see how they do. But I always like to scout out the division. But, yeah, I think that's about all you'd really be wanting to tune in to this thing for.
And I believe the tight end is Gerald Everett, not Bucky Hodges. I don't know where Bucky Hodges ended up.
Yeah,
and, of course, correct. Cooper Kupp, who actually impressed me against the Cowboys. But, yeah.
All right, so next up is the Houston Texans at the New Orleans Saints, and this is my game. Our very naughty Texan superfan has not quite gotten a preview of this yet. He said it was coming, but it's not quite there. I think with Houston, you know, it's pretty clear what there is to be watching, and it's really the quarterbacks and sort of the how that front seven is operating with J.J. Watt back and some limited work. You know, hopefully J.J. Watt doesn't strain his back in calisthenics. And actually is, is back there healthy and getting tons and tons of free publicity from the league. And on the quarterback side, you know, it's interesting that it looks like they are definitely going to be running with Savage week one of the regular season. He hasn't done anything super impressive, but, and Deshaun Watson has looked okay. I was looking at, of the rookie quarterbacks this year that were sort of drafted high, you know, I mean, he's looked okay, but also has sort of the lowest overall quarterback rating, for what any of these stats really mean in the preseason. Either way, it's going to be interesting to see his continued development. I also remember that James is interested in watching their running back depth. He really has it in for Alfred Blue and wants to find some way to get that guy off of his team. So we'll see if some of the other running backs crowd him out there. On the Saints side, Chris did send us in a nice preview here. He said that he is confident in a win because basically, I don't know, I guess the Saints are good in preseason. He's excited that this is going to be the first look at running backs Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson. Ingram's been steady for years, but, Peterson's obviously a bit of a question mark in his age. And I think one of the biggest matchups here that he's really going to be watching, and we all probably should be, is rookie left tackle Ryan Ramrod Ramchick, who held up okay against Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa last week, but he's now going up against Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. And so he says, good luck, Ramrod, and remember, Breeze is back there, so if you get him killed, you will be back in Wisconsin selling insurance with Ron Dane. He's also interested to see rookie cornerback Marshon Lattimore. He's played well, but he's not really been targeted so far by opposing quarterbacks. And so he's now going up against Nuke Hopkins, excuse me. So that's going to be, something to watch. Apparently he's been pretty mouthy despite having never been thrown his way. The Saints also apparently racked up 8 sacks last week. And so it'll be interesting to see if that's something that's, actually a sustainable part of their defense. And basically, the starting defense has given up 0 points so far to starters from opposing teams. Granted, that's the Browns and the Chargers. So, he's still hoping that maybe there's some big step forwards that have been made here by the Saints defense, and they can really actually take a step into being an NFL defense this year. That sure would be an improvement. All right. And next up is the Green Bay Packers at the Denver Broncos. That game is going to be brought to us by Rob. I've heard
yes.
you in a while.
All right. So this game for Denver, I think the biggest thing for them, one, Jamaal Charles is going to make his debut for them. It's going to be weird seeing him in a Denver Broncos jersey. I'm sure it is for you, Nick. I'm curious to see how good he looks. Does he still have some juice, or, did Denver just kind of sign him, just to make Chiefs fans angry? The offensive line was a pretty big disappointment last season. They had a little injuries, curious if they've turned it around. Also, this is Matt Paradis's preseason debut. I believe he had hip surgery on both hips. So he was a beast before that. So it'd be interesting to see if he regained his old form. Hope for them that he did. And I think, Demaryius Thomas, I guess, was angry this week, or during the last game, I should say. Be interesting to see if they kind of placate him and throw him a couple extra passes. And then the last thing is their defense, a pretty great defense. Denver has definitely their strength, but I think with them, the one thing is they need to see how they do stopping the run. That could be a little bit of a problem for them. Unfortunately, they're not playing a team that's really good at running the ball, so that might be nil. And, let's see if Trevor Siemian, now that he's been named the starter, kind of steps up a little bit for Denver. He says he can be their quarterback of the future going forward. We'll see what happens with that. On the other side of the ball, Green Bay, I think a big thing is going to be the running back position. They have looks like Ty Montgomery is going to be the starter. He played well last year. He got injured. So they have a lot of rookies behind him for playing time, if that were the case. The one I like is going to be Jamal Williams. He's a rookie from BYU. He was getting most of those reps, those first-team reps, when Montgomery is gone. Montgomery has since just got back. Looks like he's going to play. But you also have another back, Aaron Jones. So it's going to be interesting to see just their playing time, whether they can get it going. The backs behind Ty Montgomery didn't really get it going when he didn't play last preseason game. I would like to see Jamal Williams step up. And in doing research for the Green Bay game, I was looking for stuff on their defense. I was looking, for things. And really, literally, every single site, every single reporter was just worried about Aaron Rodgers because he's going to play in this game. And all it was don't get hurt. So Aaron Rodgers, please don't get hurt. Signed, your fans. I am interested to see how he plays with Marcellus Bennett. Reports were that they've been building quite a good chemistry in camp, but you see that about every star quarterback with a new acquisition, it seems like. So I'd like to see if, how they play together. That could kind of change the offense a little bit. Gives them another red zone option as opposed to just Jordy Nelson. So I think that'll be, kind of interesting to see.
Good stuff. Yeah, I mean, I definitely, this is going to be a game that I'm going to be forced to watch for Jamal Charles, as you mentioned. He hasn't played so far. He's not going to play next week. And so the reports I've seen is that basically this is his, 100% of his audition for the 53-man roster. I mean, if he doesn't, play well or show that he's, still got the burst, I mean, it's like an incentive-laden contract, so they might as well just cut him and give some more snaps to their guys that are also going to be on special teams and things like that. And it's sort of been a controversial issue among Chiefs fans of, whether or not we should be, essentially rooting for him to, to be bouncing back, or do we want his career to be over? And does that make it us bad people if we are rooting for the latter? If so, I guess I'm a bad person.
It's funny with that. D'Angelo Anderson, who was, I believe he was an undrafted free agent. I believe he played at Coastal Carolina, has played, I guess, out of his mind in camp. And I think that he's kind of making, Jamal Charles potentially being cut or something like that. He's making that a thing. He's looked really well. I wouldn't be shocked with injuries to C.J. Anderson. I know Devontae Booker's out. I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up seeing, as we go through the season, he ended up seeing a bulk of the action.
That is interesting. The other interesting thing with Denver is just, the quarterback situation, which, we've seen a lot of reports out of their camp that it's just been brutal in terms of how they've performed overall in camp. I mean, granted, they're throwing against good defenders in every practice. But, yeah, I mean, Paxton Lynch definitely doesn't look ready, and that's not good. I will say, I mean, PFF, they now do the adjusted completion percentage for quarterbacks, I guess, which is like X-ing out throwaways and drops and things like that. And Trevor Siemian is leading the preseason with a 100% adjusted completion percentage. So there is that. I mean, granted, they played against the Bears and the 49ers, not exactly, really scary defenses. But, You know, it is. It's going to be a fascinating story, honestly, if Simeon solidifies himself, because he wasn't even supposed to really be in the running last year for the for a QB spot, and just worked his way up from undrafted free agent to now, looking like he's going to be the starter going into week one. And Paxton Lynch, the guy who they have every reason to be, forcing onto the field or whatever, they traded up into the first to get him. He is. He looks like he's flaming out.
He's 6'7", Nick. 6'7" quarterbacks don't work in the NFL.
Maybe you should try basketball.
Yep.
All right. Well, next up is the Chicago Bears and the Tennessee Titans, and this is a Kevin game. So, what are you looking for here, Kevin?
I mean, I think most Bears fans want to see Trubisky again. I'm pretty sure they're getting fed up with Mike Glennon. And so far through two games, Glennon is completing less than 58% of his passes. And let's see here. Yes, this is the real doozy of the stat. Yards per completion so far for Glennon through two preseason games is 4.19, which is just grotesque. Absolutely grotesque. Obviously, Trubisky hasn't played against anyone, so perhaps it would be smart for John Fox and company to get Trubisky in there against the ones, because Glennon clearly, I'm somewhat disappointed in Glennon. I never thought Glennon was going to be the Bears' savior, but based on a few games that I saw from him in Tampa Bay, particularly his game against Pittsburgh in 2014 when he led a fourth quarter comeback, I thought he was somewhat decent and he could at least provide a little bit of good groundwork for the Bears, but that doesn't seem to be the case whatsoever. On the other hand, though, the Bears' running game is looking amazing through the first two preseason games. I think they're one of the best, for what it matters in the preseason. I think they're the third-ranked rushing team in the preseason in the NFL, so that's good. And other than Jordan Howard, Bears fans have to be excited about their rookie Tariq Cohen. Just looks lightning quick, explosive, averaging 6.4 yards per carry in the preseason. So that's got to make Bears fans happy. One thing that should make Bears fans a little concerned, I guess, is their offensive line. Kyle Long didn't play last week. He's hurt. Not sure really. I tried to see how long he's expected to be shelved for. I couldn't really get a consensus answer from many of the websites that I visited. Some thought he might even miss some regular season action. So not good. And I think they lost an offensive line starter earlier in preseason to a season-ending injury. So the offensive line, which was the strong point for the Bears last year with Cody Whitehair, I think they're now their second year center, might have a little bit of growing pains this year. Cody Whitehair, actually, I think he played left guard last preseason game just because of the depth on the line right now. They needed to make some movements, which is never a good thing this late into the preseason. And for the Titans, I don't have much to say about them. Don't think Eric Decker is going to play. Would love to see Corey Davis play. Don't think he's going to play this week. But I'm a huge Corey Davis fan. Think he's going to be the best wide receiver in that draft class from this year. So I guess what Titans fans are going to be looking for is Marcus Mariota, see how healthy he looks. I'm sure he's not going to play for the whole first half. I'd be shocked if he plays for the whole first half. I know it's preseason game three. That's usually what they do, but he's already been injured twice in his 2 years in the NFL. So I imagine the Titans want to get him in there for a bit, see what he's got, and get him right out. Derrick Henry, from what I saw in the last game, he looked quicker, stronger than last year, so that's good. So the Titans, I imagine they're going to continue their ground and pound philosophy from last year with Murray and Henry. Unfortunately, the Titans look like their offense could be pretty good this year, depending on Mariota's health and his skill set, really. I'm not 100% cool on him, but another debate for another day. But with Davis, Decker, Delanie Walker, Tajay Sharp, Murray, and Henry, that offense could be very, very explosive. So like every other fan, I'm sure the Titans are just hoping, Titans fans are hoping no injuries and just get to September 10th already.
Definitely, especially Mariota coming back from that late knee injury. They definitely want to see nothing but, you know, very light usage of him. But again, as you mentioned, interesting team. They definitely have as good a chance of anybody's winning that division. So certainly they need to keep healthy. Well, we're moving on finally to Neil's team, and that is Washington playing the Cincinnati Bengals. What are you looking for here, Neil? I mean, other than less embarrassment than usual.
Yeah, that would be a great start. I think you guys spoke a few times about teams being vanilla. I think if Washington reached vanilla status, that would be a huge improvement for the team. But looking at them coming in this game and playing Cincinnati, we played them last year in the regular season in London, and we had that fabulous tie, which was, yeah, was just terrible. Washington's biggest problem in this offseason, well, two problems, really. First one is rhythm. Offensively, there's just no rhythm, but they've only played like 30-odd snaps, the first-team offense. But we're not seeing much out of Cousins and any sort of rapport with either Terrell Pryor or Josh Doctson. Of course, they look fantastic in practice, but that's practice, for goodness sake. Washington hasn't even had any scrimmages against other teams, I don't think, this preseason or this training camp. I don't like that. I want to see them getting some competition because everything looks great when you're just throwing against your own team. So, yeah, no rapport there offensively. And on defense, it's about tackling. How hard can tackling be, Nick? I mean, even, you know, maybe they need to send the Washington defense to United Airlines training session because even they've got tackling nailed. Washington just can't do it. So we're looking at DeShazer Everett at strong safety this week. He's getting lots of reps with Sue Cravens being injured. Other than that, the team's fairly set, but it doesn't look good at this point, Nick. But you never know. I mean, preseason is preseason. But with no rhythm on offense, that is a little bit concerning going into that week one game against the ferocious Philadelphia Eagles defense, which not really looking forward to that, James, to be honest. In terms of the Cincinnati Bengals, they're 1-1 in the preseason. They've got a banged-up secondary. There's no preview from our Cincinnati superfans, so I can't really tell you much more than it's look out for USC fourth round pick in 2015, Josh Shaw at safety as he tries to take some playing time there. They've got injuries to their starting safeties, Sean Williams and George Ioka, so they're looking for some young help there. Otherwise, Cincinnati, again, fairly well set for the season ahead. And it'll be a question of, yeah, let's play some starters a bit longer, but let's try and avoid injuries, guys, if we can.
I will say on behalf of the Bengals, the Chiefs played them last week, and A.J. Green looks like he is back. I mean, he was, granted, you know, the Chiefs weren't, like, you know, bracketing in there or doing any of the kind of stuff that he's going to see during the regular season, but he looks very much like he is in form after having, you know, some struggles with injuries over the last couple of years. And for them, as I remember, it was largely injuries that held them back last year. So if they they hold together health wise, I think they'll continue to be a competitive team in that.
And the offensive line as well was a problem for them. And I should just add for Washington, Jordan Reed was activated and is back in full time practice, so he'll be playing some snaps, and that's a huge boost for our offense.
All right, and last up is the Sunday Night in America game. I actually don't know if they're going all out with all of that for preseason. Probably not. But either way, it is the Sunday night game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Minnesota Vikings. And this is a James game. James, we haven't heard you in a while, man. Where are your crazy opinions?
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to pull from the super fans on this one since they pretty much have already posted previews for this one, starting with the Niners. A couple of good things is that the three of the four turnovers last week weren't as bad as they looked. They were pretty much fluky as far as our Niners super fan is concerned. And defensively, he's very happy with how the first unit is performing thus far. He is looking at how some of the position battles are going to play out, starting with QB number two. which involves Matt Barkley. Apparently, he's being pushed by the third stringer in practice, Zane Beatles. And tight end Vance McDonald had a bad week in week two, also getting pushed by a rookie. And on defense, he likes Eric Reed. Solomon Thomas is gelling pretty well with his position grouping right now and is looking forward to him playing with the ones tonight. On the side of the Vikings, which, you know, I still want to give them thanks for not doing too well last season, getting us a good first-round pick this year. So thank you, Minnesota Vikings, for that. On offense, he's looking forward to Carlos Hyde and Cook and Latavius Murray actually getting a nice dose of the running game carries this week, because, again, for them, they had the same problem as the Niners. Offensive line is an issue for them as well. Just looking to see how they gel together. On defense, actually hoping that they play a little bit better. Wasn't too happy with the performance last week, all in all. And special teams was concerned as well, with nice little hiccups there. Guys, just mental mistakes coming out of the end zone when they should stay in, not calling fair catch, you know, fumbling the ball, muff catches and everything. So he's looking for that to be cleaned up on special teams. My take on this game, I'm really have no really big opinion. I'm surprised Brian Hoyer is even still in the league. He's slotted to be the Niners' first-string quarterback. He is not looking good, period. So, I mean, obviously the Niners are just not trying to play too well so they can get another top, say, three draft pick next season and fix that position then. Defensively, Navarro Bowman is, you know, back and pretty much playing like, you know, he's starting his career all over again. So be a good, you know, good transition for him to, you know, reassess where he is in his career. I don't think he's going to be playing much longer after this season, but something he's looking forward to. From the Viking side, I am actually looking to see how the tandem of Cook and Murray play out in the backfield of the Minnesota Vikings and see what Bradford actually does this season. And because I really don't have a very high opinion on Sam Bradford. I never thought he was that good to begin with. I did not like the fact that he had a stint in Philadelphia, and his completion percentage last year pretty much came out of nowhere as far as I'm concerned, and you know, ruined our chances at us. You know, when we sent him to Minnesota, I was hoping for a 5-10 season, not the season they had, but that's the way cookie crumbles. But I'm hoping that, or I'm looking forward to seeing how he vibes with his new offensive weapons this season. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
I am definitely interested to see Cook as well. There's a lot of buzz around the Vikings once again, but I personally just can't buy it. I'm not buying in. 49ers, you know, if they're tanking, it'll be interesting to see if they're, you know, they got to get that, you know, top five pick in order to be able to trade for Cousins' third franchise tag, you know, whatever salary and all that.
Cousins, who knows where Cousins ends up? Could be San Francisco.
Washington.
Yeah. Very much depends if he plays well. They'll put him on the tag and see, and then non-exclusive and see what bids come in, test his market. Find out finally what he's worth.
We will see.
He's been getting paid.
Yep. Certainly has.
He's going to get money from somewhere.
Yep. He likes that.
But that is far in the future. Near in our future is Justin having to edit this monster of a running long podcast. And for that, I thank him on the air and Will off the air as well. We have packed in a lot of analysis and a lot of thoughts into this. Yeah, this preview of week three of the preseason. Probably more thought than needs to go into a preview of the preseason, but either way, we hope you all enjoy it. And if you want to see more about what your designated superfan, has written up about your team, we paraphrased a bit from their previews, but you can find all of those at our website, which is nextfanup.wordpress.com. We also would love for you to rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps other people find the show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. As well. You can also find us and a lot of our posts and all of our back episodes, not only on iTunes, but on Facebook. We also interact with a lot of our fans directly there as well, and that is just facebook.com/nextfanup, or you can search for Next Fan Up in the search bar there. And so for Rob, Neil, Kevin, and James, there you have it, and we're on to Landry Jones.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.
Oh, I know where we're going. Okay. So, make a note about 50 minutes in. I screwed up.